Welcome, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate for the next hour, your local real estate news magazine. I am Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker realtor and a Santa Barbara resident since 1977. I'm here with talent on loan from the California Department of Real Estate. As usual, the fourth segment, we break this up kind of like a basketball game, kind of like last night's game with Miami versus Dallas. And as much as I'm rooting for Dallas, it was painful to see my good friend, the coach of Miami. What's his name? That's what a good friend he is. I can't remember his name. He was a coach of the Lakers for years. And it's just painful to watch. He's just such an emotional man. Pat Riley. So we break the program down into four quarters. The fourth quarter is the weekly multiple listing update, and we'll look at, well, we might even part of the third quarter. I've got some other stats of some year-to-date information to go for. We're available here at 564-1290, 564-1290, and I do want to mention an after-the-show caller. Oh, and also at RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com. After-the-show caller, Paul, great call. He must be a listener on Saturday. We rebroadcast the program Saturday at 2, Monday at 9 in the evening, live right now. And he listened to last week's program on Saturday and called me with some great information. Big Brother Bob Braitman was on. I refer to him as Big Brother because alluding to the power of the Secret Service, like the X-Men in the X-Files, rather, of controlling our world, Big Brother, and making fun of him. And that, and through the course of the program, making fun of City of Santa Barbara back in the 60s, I made it appear that they were grabbing, you know, the land and the airport and just having some fun with Bob. Now, Bob isn't an old-timer, hasn't been around, so he wasn't able to respond to my antics, as was the listener, Paul, who discussed in detail about Coast Village Road and the city annexation with an explanation, which I will get to. But I do have a cell phone caller on the line who we want to get an update on, who is the most atypical landlord on the planet, my good friend, Jeff from Redlands. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Mark.
Thanks a lot for joining me. I'm concerned about you being on a cell phone and reception, and I'm concerned about your power. So I don't know how much time we'll have. I guess we'll talk until your battery dies.
Well, we're doing fine. I'm all plugged in my car, and but it's nice to start off the show knowing that I'm atypical.
You, and I mean that as a big, big compliment. I mean it as a big, big compliment. We'll talk about some of the issues. Jeff has been on a couple of times. Last time I was on, we got a phone call from another friend of mine who's also a big-time landlord and was kind of, you know, I don't know if the word was chastising you. You don't know him. I know him real well. He's a sweetheart of a guy. He's a businessman. I know you're in a business to make money. But he was, I guess the topic at the time was you were mentioning that you were going to raise some rents, and you were going to do it by, and these were rents, you have about, you know, roughly 30 units, and you've had some people there. One guy was there 14 years. We're going to talk in depth about this one guy. And, but some guy had been there 14 years, 10 years, 8 years. You've never raised their rent. And you were mentioning that you were going to ask them to voluntarily raise their rent,
right?
Because that was going to be your approach.
Correct.
And there was another facet, which we'll get into, was that you also never had late fees, and you thought you were going to send a letter out and say that there would be a late fee if they don't pay within 3 days. So we'll talk about that. So Jim kind of called up, and he was, what's the word, admonishing you? He was, you know.
Well, yeah, it was a little bit of a, spankage factor, you know, for lack of a better word. But, you know, I saw his point, and, you know, I try to run things with compassion and empathy. I try to get take care of repairs quickly. It's I heard once that it's the number one source of complaints from tenants. So, you know, I do take pride in the places. Down here in Redlands, we have a historical district, and some of my places are Victorian in nature, and so we're right in the hub of this historical area. And so consequently, a lot of people, they like the hardwood floors, they like that turn-of-the-century feel, and they kind of hang on. They find an affordable place, and so I usually wait for turnover to happen, and then I raise rent, and nobody gets hurt. And then I've got people hanging on for quite some time.
Right, right. And there's a book that I want to talk about with you a little bit after we get your story about how it went when you decided to approach some tenants and say, so what do you think you should be paying? Or I think, you know, I think it's time for rent. This is called The Landlord Survival's Guide. And he has some very atypical ideas. And he claims, at least it was written, this was an article that was written by Robert Bruss, who is kind of doing a synopsis or plugging of the book. And he mentioned that this guy Taylor, Jeffrey Taylor, is a big landlord. He says that he has long-time tenants. He says his average tenant stays a remarkable 5 years. Yeah. We don't have time now, and I know you probably never have time to do this, but I'm wondering what your average is. I know you've had some long-term tenants, but it's rare for you to have someone who moves in and out in a year, unless it's, you know, extraordinary circumstances. So I bet you probably beat this guy. And So Jim did call and give you a little bit of a spanking about, hey, Jeff, just do your business, do your job. But, Jeff, I want to mention another landlord in town, a client of mine who owns about 50 units. And I remember him telling me that he had some tenants who paid under the Section 8 program, which is kind of a contributing, government-contributing rental deal, where the tenant pays a percent and the government pays a percent. And he said, and they pretty much dictate, they will say a two-bedroom is worth X number of dollars. And he said that they actually paid more than some of his other rentals.
Right.
Which, again, led me to believe that he was doing what you're doing, in that you don't necessarily, find out the absolute maximum dollar amount that could be charged, and you charge that. Do you lose money on it? Yeah, but when you look at the long-term tenants and the quality of people you attract, and I don't know. I don't think you should really. You've been doing the same thing for how many years?
Close to 25, 27 years.
You know, I mean, you're doing well. Could you use an extra $100 a month now that the gas has gone up? Sure.
Right.
You know, now that and a lot of your tenants pay utilities, and the utilities have gone up. Just to give them, and I know we're going to get into the specific of this situation where Jeff actually approached his tenants, that at least we're going to hear three stories, and said, you know, you've been here 17 years. What do you think you should pay, or what do you? But what about your buddy's friend? Your buddy's wife, is it Mike's wife, who is a property manager?
Yes, correct.
Just to give another opinion, what was her advice?
He manages one of these 500 mega complex places, and he said that they have a 6% buffer built in for rental increases. So when people sign up and they move in, they've got these neat specials to get you in, you know, one free month rent and whatnot. But it's built in. The cushion's there. So they know that on their anniversary date, their rent goes up 6%. And that was her suggestion. And there's, you know, and then you take the other spectrum, the other side. You know, you do have consistent paying tenants. They're low key. They go on weekends a lot. They're not partying. They don't have a lot of traffic, a lot of excessive people all the time. And they end up being model good tenants. And so, and that's kind of what you want. It makes the landlording and being in the rental business more enjoyable.
You don't have the turnover, you save money there. You don't have some maintenance, maybe, you save money there. You have less utilities, you save money there. And then other tenants are happier, so they stay in turn.
Correct.
I guess their position is, well, we'll raise it 6%, and some of the people will be good, and some of the people will be bad, and we'll still come out ahead. It's kind of that more of a corporate mentality. You, as an entrepreneur, can kind of be a little more flexible. So let's hear the story of a guy who had been renting from you for 17 years, and you never raised his rent.
Right.
Well, it's going to be hard for your listeners to hear this. He's living in a new three-story Victorian apartment house. He's got a studio apartment. It's good size. And he moved in 1989. And he's rented for $410, all utilities included. And much to my astonishment, we sat down on the front porch and I said, "Ron, I've been wanting to talk to you for the longest time about raising your rent." And before I could even get started out the gate, he reminded me back in 1989 that I said the following words: "I'll never raise your rent." And I looked at him and I said, "I said that to you way back then?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I can't imagine me saying that to anybody. That's something I'm very careful of. I suppose I just stayed 2 or 3 years, I would have kept my word. I just stayed 5 or 7 years, my word would be intact. Matter of fact, Ron, 10 or 12 years, I think we could still look each other in the eye." And so he's kind of smiling, and yet he's so anxious now because he knows we're there. We're going to talk about this topic. And so he goes, "Well, how much did you have in mind?" And I said, "Well, Ron, you pay $410 a month. All utilities are included. I'm going to go just a clean 100 bucks. $510. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, since we're debating," he used those words, "debating, what if we were to have a gradual increase, like 10 bucks a month to get us up there?" And so at this point, I realized he was dead serious. So I said, "Well, let's pretend that I talked to you 10 months ago. Ron, we're there."
Well, I'm glad that you didn't, you know, I'm glad that you didn't back down. I mean, this guy, you know, so 410 is now, what do you think the max it could be worth today?
It might go for maybe 575, maybe 600, all utilities included, good size studio.
I mean, utilities included, that's a chunk of change.
So at least it's more respectable, and this is unrelated, but actually it is related. Mark, I just got off the phone while I was waiting for your call. I have these two gals that rent a two-bedroom with a study top flat where I used to live over on Eureka.
Oh, yeah.
And they're splitting up, these two sisters. One's moving out today. And the other sister just asked me this question. This is how you have to think on your feet all the time. She says, "My sister's moving out. Can I just have a rental agreement in my name?" I said, "Oh, okay." And she said, "Too bad things didn't work out." "Yeah, not a good idea to rent with family." "Okay." And so she said, now, she actually said, in a very naive, honest way, she was, "Now, will there be an adjustment in my rent?" And there's that kind of pregnant pause. And I said, "Well..."
Yeah, and you said, "You know what? I won't raise it."
That's good. That is good. I actually said, "Well, so since there's one person, you want a reduction in your rent?" I said, "Well, you know what? Gosh, sometimes things happen that I have nothing to do with. This is a case where you chose not to have a roommate. And this is where I have to extricate myself and gain a little perspective and just say, this space, this large kitchen, nice-sized living room, two bedrooms and a study, it's worth $1,000. And if you want to get another roommate, that's absolutely okay with me." And she goes, "Okay, all right, I love the place. I want to stay. But my point is, there's always going to be something that comes up.
Is she paying $1,000?
Yes, the two sisters were.
And you reiterated and reinforced in her mind that it's clearly worth $1,000. Jeff, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
How long? About, what is it, 3 minutes? Why don't we call you back? Save your battery.
No, I'm okay. I'll just hang on, Mark, because I've got it charging right now.
And you're charging in your car?
Yes. Doing good.
Okay. We're the man who approached a tenant 17 years, paying $410 for a studio, under market, and still had to have a little bit of a debate about bumping the rent up. There's a couple other stories, and we'll talk about his approach to rent delinquent fees for being late on your rent. And then we'll have some examples of this, the Landlord Survival Guide, about some suggestions. Like, this guy rents, and you know what's optional? Stoves and refrigerators. In fact, you're supposed to bring your own stove and refrigerator. So we'll talk about that. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. You got a rental story, 564-1290, 564-1290. And again, we'll follow up with some great information that the after-the-show caller, Paul, talked about, the annexation of Coast Village Road and Biltmore. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.